for now. On March the 12th, 2012, Jeff Waldman accidentally flew to Dallas. Terminal 2 in the San Francisco airport has gates that are pretty close together, so while Jeff waited to get in on his flight to Los Angeles through gate 54A, he inadvertently switched to 54B, lost on his phone, drowsy and drifting. He presented his boarding pass to the flight attendant, who scanned his ticket, glazing over the words Los Angeles, and ignored any warning bells or flashes. With a smile, Jeff was welcomed and wished an enjoyable flight. He found his seat and, perplexingly, on this full flight, was never challenged with the validity of his seat. Jeff had never really slept on a plane either, but was on the edge of sleep when the pilot came on the intercom and announced the flight time to Dallas, almost 4 hours. Jeff thought, that's a lousy joke. He didn't even consider the pilot to be serious. The odds of being on the wrong plane in a seat that wasn't taken were so improbable that a joke seemed more likely. So Jeff drifts off to sleep. Jeff woke to the intercom.
The time in Dallas is 5:20, temperature hot. Thank you for flying with us today.
A quick glance around the plane and he's picked up glaring clues that somehow he overlooked. The people are not the usual LA crowd. This is a Texas crowd. With at least one cowboy hat in sight, he can almost smell the barbecue brisket. Jeff panics. He jumps out of his seat minutes before touchdown, trying to explain to the flight attendant, I'm on the wrong flight! But they strongly urge him, get back to your seat. This isn't supposed to happen, Jeff thinks. You don't accidentally wake up on a plane landing in Dallas. Jeff's reality unfurled as he looks around the plane as the wheels touch down, wondering how he had missed it all. Missed it all. How much did the people of Israel miss? Here in our text for today, we have Jesus sending out 72 disciples to be messengers to the Israelites. They are part of the warning signs, the intercoms, the cowboy hats, telling people that the kingdom of God has come near. The Israelites have been preparing for the arrival of the Messiah for a long time. The people knew the scriptures and understood that a future hope was coming, but were they able to see? The people of Israel had not seen. And if they did, they rejected this Messiah, this Jesus, as a bad joke. So, there are two kinds of people that Jesus sends the 72 out to. Those that do not know and those that reject his message. For Jesus sends the 72 as lambs among wolves, where rejection is not only possible but expected. The chosen people of God missing the signs of the Son of God. The 72 were even instructed by Jesus to wipe off their feet when they left a town as a warning to those who had rejected. Not even the dust of that town was worthy of the message that the kingdom of God is near. For the consequences of this rejection are dire. And in verse 13 to 15, there is a passage of woes against three cities. It may seem a little cruel or unfair that Jesus says these things, but it is an important message because Jesus started his ministry in and around these three towns. He performed many signs and miracles there, including the feeding of the 5,000 just the chapter previous, and then the raising of a dead girl and the healing of a sick woman in Luke chapter 8. And just so many more miracles. There was ample evidence for the people of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum to see who Jesus was, but they rejected him. And that passage ends in verse 16 saying, "For whoever rejects Jesus rejects God who sent him." There it is. The Jews reject Jesus, so unaware of the signs, but this is not an old phenomenon. People today still reject Jesus, and there are countless others who have not heard. You see, the world does not see the miracles and work of Jesus today. He's just a bad joke, not worthy of paying attention to, out of touch with how life really works. This is a sad message that the devil puts out into the world. But rejection is around us, not only for those outside the church, but also for those inside the church. So when we say that the kingdom of God is near, do you hear? Do you listen to that message? The full weight that the kingdom of God is near? Or do I reject parts that are hard or parts that I don't like? This is where Christians can embrace worldly values and miss the flight that we were supposed to take. But the curious part is that today, the message the 72 went out with still applies. God is calling his disciples to spread the message because many in this world have not heard. The world puts blinders. Let's go. There. The world puts blinders on people, promising hollow fulfillment, kind of like noise barriers down a major highway. You can't see anything beyond. People can't enjoy the trees, the rivers, the parks. They're missing the true joy of the gospel. As my wife Roseanne and I were looking for a house to buy in Essex, I was asked by a homeowner what I had studied. Theology, I said. And this fellow who asked me looked all curious and crunched his eyebrows and said, "I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is." He had no idea. Someone right here in Essex has never heard. How many are just out these doors? Will you go? Jesus has called us to go as lambs among wolves. Yes, wolves that oppose the kingdom of God. This, my friends, is a war against sin to show the true love of Jesus, expecting to find resistance. This is no easy task. And I lament that there are many times in my life that I have not been a good witness. I have pushed aside my Christian values in order to look cool by the world. The world says that the Christian message must be a bad joke. So I don't need to take it seriously that this kingdom is coming. I mean, I don't even believe in the consequences of heaven and hell, right? I live, I die, that's it. But Christians believe through faith that there are consequences, that Jesus is relevant, and it is no joke when we tell the world that it's on a 4-hour flight to Dallas, that this kingdom is near, and how they live matters. It's a serious message. For in our passage today, we know that the message the 72 disciples brings to the Jews is urgent. In verse 4, they are told not to greet anyone along the road. They do this because their mission is urgent. They must not be obsessed with the normal affairs of life as other people are. For these greetings on the road were often long and filled with gossip. Ministry was the priority of the 72. So the workers go, trusting in God to provide, and in their mission, it is not human strength that has won over those who receive the gospel message. Not because these 72 are rich, influential people, but as people whose lives are changed and transformed by God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they performed miracles and signs of Jesus. The 72 are commissioned in such a way that they represent him. To hear them is to hear Jesus, and to reject them is to reject Jesus. But you wonder, how did the 72 actually do this mission? Well, they went out in pairs. They shared the load, were accountable, and able to be full of integrity. These 72 needed support of fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. So with Jesus, their mission was successful and the harvest was plentiful. Interestingly, Jesus says little about method. He doesn't give his followers a developed and influential message. Their ministry is to minister to needs, to reveal God's power, and to share where it had come from. Many Christians today are intimidated to share Jesus because they feel they do not know what to say. But Jesus sends the 72 and tells them simply to give of themselves and point to the presence of God. Sometimes we make evangelism more difficult than it needs to be. The harvest is plentiful, and the disciples rejoice because they were able to command spirits. But, and this is a crucial point, Jesus corrects them and ultimately says, "Rejoice because your name is in the book of life." This is the grace in the text, that Jesus rejoiced because the disciples had their name in the book of life. And people here today, those that have accepted Jesus, know the joy of having our name written in the book of life. And in our living, we point to God as it is God's work in us to spread the news to those who have not seen and walk beside those who have rejected Jesus. Because in our lives, in big or in small ways, God is the one we point to. We do not go out alone. With God, the weight of evangelism is as simple as sharing your story. As we support each other through the church. This church is a place where God is at work. There is no doubt that God is here. This does not mean that our lives are perfect or comfortable. We are sent out as lambs among wolves. But we do not go alone. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell among us, that we may share the hope of the resurrected King, that this kingdom is near, for it lives in our heart. So rejoice that your name is in the book of life. Let that change how you live and go out with the gospel into places that God has called us. He has called us to be right here in the town of Essex and in and around the Windsor-Essex area. I want to let you know that as I wrote this sermon, I really wanted to list off all the names of the towns of all the people and all the areas we represent. I looked in the church directory, and on one page, there were 10 different towns. I stopped making my list because we represent a lot of places. I rejoice in that because wherever we are, we witness to the wonderful news of Jesus, his saving work. So take heart because God is working. He is sending us to those who have not heard. He is sending us to those who think he is a joke. He is sending us to be radical in the eyes of the world. We pray that our living well will be a witness molded by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Ask God for help doing this today because there are many Jeff Waldmans in the world getting caught up and distracted, getting on the wrong planes. So what actually happened to Jeff? Well, he squeezed towards the cockpit after the plane landed and grabbed a hold of a flight attendant. I'm supposed to be in LA. I got on the wrong plane. I fell asleep. Cowboys, water towers. How do I get back? Help me, please. Jeff is led to Donna at the service desk and gets a look of pity and disapproval. Jeff tells her everything. Didn't you hear the pilot? Why didn't you say something earlier? Jeff raises his hands, defeated. I did notice, but I thought he was joking. Jeff is given kindergarten-level instructions. Stay right here. Don't move. He waits. It turns out that there are no other flights on that airline to LA that day. But to his relief, they can get him on a United Airlines flight that leaves in an hour. Jeff is led to the United counter at an unmerciful tempo. Donna guiding through the crowd like a lifeguard guiding a child. Once there, she doesn't explain Jeff's plight to the guy, and the purchase is brief that they get him a boarding pass. So with that in hand, Jeff gets on the right plane. Even in missing the signs, even in thinking that it was a bad joke, there was hope for Jeff. And there is hope for the people of the world when they hear and accept the message. The grace that God gives to his children is incredible. In this world of sin and rejection, Jesus is the victor over sin and death. We are to go and let the world know of this hope. We are to point to the work of God, ministering to needs, revealing God's power, and sharing the good news of the gospel. And we do not do this alone. God works in us. With the hope of our names written in the book of life, let our witness go out into this community and into the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for sending out the 72 to be disciples in your name. You have called us to go out and be your disciples in our neighborhoods. Help us to be like you, to glorify your name. Lord, protect us as we go and bring in a plentiful harvest. Thank you for loving us and showing us your mercy in order for our joy to overflow with love for our neighbors. Amen.